But let me ask you this morning, if God were to come down to earth this morning, how do you think he would appear? Would he appear as a great king riding on a white horse, coming through these auditorium doors with all pageantry and glory? Maybe he'd be a renowned doctor who could cure all the diseases of the world. Perhaps he'd be a great political leader who would establish world peace, which we're in very much need of today. If God were to come down to earth this morning, how would you picture him? Would you picture him as a stern judge? Perhaps a loving father? A powerful monarch? A great teacher? No doubt in our human understanding of things, we think that if God were to come down to earth, he would definitely make himself known. People would know who he is and why he was here. I believe if God came down to earth this morning, surely the world would stand up and take notice. Or perhaps God wouldn't come to earth. Because for the deists, God serves, exists beyond and apart from earth, but he's not part of it. He serves as some sort of an absent landlord. If you were a New Age person like Shirley MacLaine, a pantheist, you believe that God is the world and you are part of it, you are God. In fact, she wrote in her book, Dancing in the Light, she said, each soul is its own God. You must never worship anything or anyone other than yourself, for you are God. To love self is to love God. Or perhaps you are like one of the old philosophers of old, where the gods were very distinct and separate from the world of man. Like some sort of a puppeteer master, and we are on the strings, and he's conducting every move that we make. What if God came to earth today? But what if he didn't come? What if we were able to get just a glimpse of God today? What form would he take? How would he appear to all of the creation of his? Well, beloved, this is what Christmas is all about. God's appearance to humanity. God becoming one of us. The Christmas story is all about God revealing himself to us in the form of man. And the truth of Christmas is that God invaded this world. He intervened. He displayed himself to each one of us. Deity was displayed. God became flesh. So in the text that I'm going to read to you this morning, we want to focus on the incarnation of God this morning. We focus more on the fact that the Son of God became one of us. He humbled himself to become a human. Not just a human, but he humbled himself to become a servant. So today I want you to see as we read these scriptures that the Christ of Christmas is the humble servant. Paul's challenge is that we can be like Christ because he became one of us. He revealed God to us. And because Christ became one of us, we can imitate him. In fact, from the verses I'm going to read, we learn that Christ of Christmas is the humble servant. And that's how he displayed himself to the entire world. You might be asking yourself, well, how was his deity displayed? Well, on the back of the page, you have several notes. And the first one is, deity is displayed in the humiliation of Christ the servant. And as we look at verses 6 through 8 of Philippians chapter 2, it says this, who though he was in the form of God, did not count himself equal with God, a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of man. And being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even the death on a cross. In these three verses, Paul establishes three truths that reveals Christ's purpose for coming to earth. And the first truth I want you to see this morning is that Christ is fully God. If you look at verse 6, you'll see that there. Because in verse 6, Paul affirms that Jesus Christ is continually in the form of God, yet equal with God. When Jesus became man, he did not cease to be God. He was as much God on earth as he was in heaven when he created all the earth, all of creation. I love Mark Lowry's song, Mary, Did You Know? It's become kind of a staple these last few years. But there's a verse that says this, Mary, did you know, when you kiss your little baby, you kiss the face of God. The point is that Jesus Christ is the outward expression of the inward existence of God. Whatever it is that makes God God, Jesus Christ possessed it. His very nature, his very person, his very character. Jesus is God. And this truth reminds us that Jesus Christ will never cease being God. What he is today, what he is yet was yesterday, what he will be tomorrow, he will always be God. And then in verse 7, Paul answers the question, would God appear to us? And if so, how? How would he appear to us? God the Son became a man. He took upon himself the flesh that you and I have. He didn't subtract his deity. He added humanity. He became 100% human. So while on earth, Jesus was 100%. God was 100% at the same time. I wish I could explain it. But I can't. I can't tell you how many countless times I've read through the scripture over my 48 years of being a Christian. Thousands of times. And the answer isn't there. We just have to accept it on faith. He had all the power and authority of the deity. But as man, he had to be nursed. He cried. He bled. And yes, he died on the cross of Calvary, for you and for me. And this is the great mystery of the incarnation of Christ. How could God the Son become one of us, yet maintain all of his divine attributes? How could God become dependent upon man? Well, the second thing we see in these verses is that he became a slave. And for this reason, many people rejected him. He was not the Messiah they wanted. They wanted somebody coming in on a white horse with a kingly robe and a great entourage behind him. He wasn't a king, but he was a servant. He laid aside his glorified status in heaven to become a slave. This is not what the people wanted. But he didn't seek the accolades of the people or the prestige of the world. His aim was not to win the approval of others. No, instead, he didn't make himself a reputation. But he took upon himself the form of a lowly slave. He had a choice, and he chose servanthood. But why would he do that? Why would God choose to become a servant? Well, I want you to notice the third point of Paul's description of Christ's humiliation. Not only does the apostle establish his deity and humanity, but in chapter verse 8, we find that he was obedient. Listen as I read verse 8. And being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Paul writes that he humbled himself. This carries the meaning he emptied himself. But what did he empty himself of? Already we have affirmed that God, Jesus, could never cease being God. Thus, he couldn't empty himself of any of those characteristics that made God God. He did not lay aside his attributes, his deity. What then did he empty himself of? Well, you may notice in the text that emptying is linked to the addition of humanity. Christ emptied himself by becoming a man. Christ's emptying was not a subtraction of his deity, but it was an addition to his humanity. He became man, and by becoming man, he emptied himself of something. And that was his heavenly glory. He temporarily laid aside his heavenly glory to become one of us. Just like you and me, flesh and blood. He made himself submissive. He made himself obedient to the Father. He became obedient. The Son of Man had to become one of us in order to die for us. And not only that, in order to come to earth, he had to live a sinless life. He had to fulfill the law, all of the law's demands, and live in perfect righteousness. He had to obey God's demands. As sinners, beloved, we have each broken God's law. But Jesus Christ lived in perfect obedience to God's requirements. He became obedient even unto death. Not just any death, but Calvary's cross. The cross that God created for his Son. Jesus came here to do what you and I couldn't do. He became the perfect obedient sacrifice for our sins. And that is the essence of the Christmas story. He became man for the purpose of dying. He came to die. If you see this babe in a manger but fail to recognize the servant of the cross, then you've missed the whole focus of what Christmas is all about. And as we reflect upon his birth, we can't overlook his death. For without his death, there is no Christmas. Jesus, who was born in a stable, wrapped in swaddling clothes, laid in a manger, grown up, doing good. Yet if he didn't suffer that cross of Calvary, there would be no Christmas. There would be no reason for hope. For Christmas points to Calvary. It reminds us of the babe who grew up to become our sacrifice for sins. His birth points to his sacrificial death. Then Paul continues. And the second point I want to make is that deity is displayed in the exaltation of Christ the Savior. Listen as I read Philippians chapter 2, verses 9 through 11. Therefore God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every other name. So that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow. In heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Because Christ was obedient unto death, because he came and completed what he had to do, Christ the Savior has been exalted to the Father. When Christ laid aside his glory to become one of us, it was done on a temporary basis. While his humanity is permanent, his humiliation was only temporary. As the angelic hosts proclaim and praise the babe of Bethlehem, as the angels and shepherds knelt in adoration at the manger, even so we must bow to our knees and worship Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. In verse 9, we see that Christ has been given a name above all names. The name of Jesus stands above every name there is. No matter how great the name is, no name stands above Jesus. He is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He is the way, the truth, and the life. The door, the good shepherd. He is the Lamb of God, the lily of the valley, the Prince of Peace, Emmanuel, the Son of God. He is the King of glory and the great I Am. He is the Master, the ruler, and the hope of our salvation. In fact, Acts 4:12 tells us, and there is salvation in no one else. For there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. And then if we look at 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 5, the writer says, and there is one God, and there is one mediator between man and God, and man, the man Christ Jesus. His name is the only name whereby you and I can be made whole. It is his name that is to be exalted above every other name. And then as we look at verse 10, we see that Christ has been given the exalted position. Paul confirms that in every name of Christ, every knee shall bow, and every tongue shall confess that he is Lord of lords. Philippians 2:11 says that every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Paul asserts that not only will every knee bow in adoration to our Lord, but every tongue will confess him as Lord. That vile mouth that cursed him, that skeptical tongue that mocked him, that unbelieving tongue that denied him, all will one day confess that Jesus Christ is Lord of lords and King of kings. To know Christ as Savior is to confess him as Lord of lords and King of kings. What about you this morning? Where do you stand with the Lord Jesus Christ? Is he Rudolph the red-nosed reindeer to you, or Santa Claus? I hope not. I pray that he is your King of Kings and Lord of Lords. But that doesn't come by just coming to church and sitting in a pew, or picking up your Bible once in a while, or giving an offering, or growing up in a particular family. It comes as a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Do you have that personal relationship? I don't know your heart. Only God does. God tells us we're not to judge other people. The only way we can see their is by their actions. But have you, at some point in your life, come to the point where you've actually asked Jesus Christ to be your Lord and Savior? Was there a time when you prayed a very simple prayer? Lord Jesus, I am a sinner. I can be saved by grace through faith, by having you forgive my sins by the blood that you shed on Calvary's cross. Would you come into my heart today? Have you ever prayed that prayer? What a great Christmas this would be, knowing that you are a child of God, adopted into his family, knowing that if you die, you get to go to heaven. But one of the greatest perks a Christian has is not just knowing that they're going to heaven, but through our relationship with him, we get to talk to him. We get to communicate with God, pray to him. Oh, what a blessing that is. Would you pray with me right now?